Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom, Meisvei. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had quoted the opinion of Rav Chisda, who had said that Dvar Matunim Bracha Lachreim B'Mekaimam, something that requires a bracha in the place where I ate, which, as we explained in the previous shiur, means something that requires a significant bracha achroinam. For example, a bracha main shalosh or birchas hamazon. The halacha is that if somebody moves from one place to another place, he doesn't have to make another bracha rishayna. And we explained because that shows that his moving to the second place is really a continuation of his previous meal, not really a new meal. So ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, if there were a group of people that were sitting together eating, and they got up, they went to greet a chosan or kala, when they leave their place where they were sitting, the halacha is ein tun brocha mafreya. They don't have to make a brocha achroina as they leave. Since they intend to come back, there's no need for them to make a brocha achroina. And when they come back to where they were, ein tun brocha lechatchila, they don't have to make a new brocha rishoina. Continues the Braisa. B'medva mamurim, when was all of this said that there is no need for them to make a brocha achroina? There is no need for them to make a new bracha rishayna. It's only if hinichu sham zaken achayla. If they left where they were, people that were still going to continue eating, people that were part of the group. So since somebody from the group is still left, that means that that meal has not disbanded. Aval lo hinichu sham lo zaken lo achayla. If they did not leave anybody from their group at the place where they were, k'shen before they leave, tuna bracha l'mafreya, they have to make a bracha achroina, k'shen chayzrim, and when they come back, tunan bracha l'chatchil, they have to make a bracha rishayna. So the Gemara spoke, the Braisa speaks about when they're going out to greet the chos v'kala. So the Bala Mar says, why did the Braisa have to pick a case that they're going to meet a chosan v'kala? What's the significance of telling us that they're going to meet a chosan v'kala? So Bala Mar explains, because the halacha really is that while somebody's in the middle of a meal, he shouldn't leave under any circumstances, because leaving creates, as we're learning, all sorts of issues regarding brachas. The only reason why this Braisa says we could allow ourselves to start getting into these questions is because it was a tzarech mitzvah. They were going to greet the chos mekala. Not only is it a tzarech mitzvah, but I saw that the Kolboy adds that it's a mitzvah veris. The chos and mekala are walking by, and they're going to be gone soon. So if we don't go greet them now, we're going to lose the opportunity to greet them, and that's why we could be more lenient. So the Beis Yosef asks on the Kolboy that we're going to learn later in our shiur, but what's the halach if they leave because they have to go to the Beis HaKnesset, the Beis HaMedrash, to Davin? So the Beis Yosef says, who says that too is a mitzvah veris? And yet we see that the Braisa is lenient. So we have to say that, says the Bi'er Halacha, that when we're saying that the Bala Mar says that he should make a bracha achroina, it's not that the halacha absolutely requires that he make a new bracha achroina. Says the Bi'er Halacha, that what the Gemara means to say here is that this is good advice to make a bracha achroina. Because if you're not going to make a bracha achroina, you're going to end up with all sorts of shailas. And in order to avoid all these shailas, the best thing to do is to make a bracha achroina, and you won't have a problem that maybe you forgot. So the Braisa said, "B'medva mamurim shenichu sham zaken achayla." So the Kesef Mishnah says that, of course, when the Braisa says zaken achayla, doesn't necessarily mean that it was a zaken achayla. Anybody who was left is the same halacha. The reason the Bryson mentions Zaka v'chayla is because typically, if a chasen kala walking by, everybody's going to go out to greet them. The zaken chayla who it's difficult for them to get up are going to leave. Everybody else is going to go. But of course, says the Kesef Mishnah, that doesn't make a difference who it is, as long as somebody is leaving, and the rest of them are going to come back. We could be lenient. Now, says the Maram Chalva, that even though we're being lenient, if we leave there a chasen or kala, then we could go further. Says the Maram Chalva, that's only if they're going to be away for less than 72 minutes. But if it can be away for more than 72 minutes, so we know that 72 minutes is always the amount of time that of shir equal. Whenever there's a shir equal, then there's no place to be makel. Another question that the Rishonim discuss, and that is, let's say, as we just discussed, they want to do the right thing, and the right thing is to make a bracha achrona. So they made a bracha achrona before they left. What's going to be the halacha if they come back? Do they have to make a new bracha rishona because they ended the meal? Or maybe they made a bracha achrona because they were concerned that they're going to forget or whatever about the bracha achrona. But not in this, but in the case where that concern, they know they're going to come back, maybe they shouldn't have to make a bracha shayna. It says the Mishnah Brura, la loch lemaisa, that if somebody gets up, even though their intention is to eat, come back, the loch lemaisa, the Mishnah Brura says, is that a person should always try to make a bracha achrona when he gets up, because otherwise you're going to have all sorts of shilas. Only question, only in a certain circumstances, as we're learning in our Gemara, is the halacha that you don't have to make another bracha. In order to avoid all these shilas, says the Mishnah Brura, make a bracha achrona. The only case that the Mishnah Brura says that I will agree that he doesn't have to make a new bracha, doesn't have to say a bracha achrona, he doesn't have to say a new bracha rishona, going back to something that we discussed in our previous year, that's only in a case where when you started the meal, you knew and you had in mind that you're going to be continuing your meal in another place. And ask the Bi'ar Locha, if that's the case, why does the Braisa speak about zokon achoyla? So says the Bi'ar Locha, that if you left the zaken a chayla, so that means that you weren't mafsik the suda, and therefore it's much easier to be makel than under any other circumstances. But points out the Gemara, mititani, the fact that the Braisa says okra gleim, it means because they were in a rush. Michlal, what does this seem to teach us? The dvar matuna brachal achrei b'mukayim maskinan. They were eating a regular meal, and they would have to make one of the significant bracha achronis that we began our shiur with, the brachas hamazon, the bracha main gimel, the tama. And what's the reason that we're lenient? The nichusham zokna chayla. The reason we're being lenient is because they left the zokna chayla over there, and they didn't all leave the meal, and that's why when they come back, we have less of a problem. Who the kishay yotzim? That's why ain't turn a bracha l'mafreya. They don't have to say brachas hamazon when they leave. Ukshay chayzrim, and when they come back, ain't turn a bracha l'chatchila. They don't have to make a new bracha rishona. But what is the Braisa teaching us? Loi hinichu sham zaken chayla. If they didn't leave anybody at the meal that they were participating in, shen yotzim before they leave, turn a bracha l'mafreya. They would have to make a bracha achrona. And when they come back, they would have to make a bracha rishona. But Rav Chisda said that whenever somebody is eating a significant food, the significance is dependent on the bracha achrona, the meal is always considered to be continued. And it doesn't require that you have to make a new bracha, achrona. So I saw that the Rishonim explain that the Braisa just said, the Gemara just said, Midatani Akru Regleim, so it's obvious that we're talking about something that requires a significant bracha. How do we know that that's the way to understand the Braisa? Because the Braisa uses the word akur gleim. So I saw that the Rashba explains that the fact that it says akru, akru means that you undid something significant. If it was, as we keep on discussing in our shir, if it wasn't that you were eating something that really has significance, then the word akru is not the right word. Akru seems to mean that you uprooted something that had a kvius, that had a significance. The Meiri has another pshat. The Meiri says that the word akru means very much consistent with what we're learning in our entire shir. It means that you did something b'di'evid. That the right thing to do is that you should have made a bracha achroina. But akru means you just got up quickly without thinking. Another pshat that I saw from the Baal HaMor is the fact that the Braisa began, as we said at the beginning of our shir, about speaking about these individuals who went out lekras chosen v'kala. Why did the Braisa specifically speak about the people who went out lekras chosen v'kala? So he says, from here we see that the Braisa is teaching, because a chosen v'kala came suddenly, that's where we're being lenient. But under other circumstances, they should not have gotten up. And the Ramban says, we look at the wording of Kishehin Yoitzin. Kishehin Yoitzin means that they're going out. They went out. They didn't think, says the Ramban, and they went out. But the right thing to do, should have done is make the bracha achrona before they left. Again, Rav Chisda, clearly, in our previous year, did not make this requirement that you have to leave people there. So how do we understand this Gemara? Answers the Gemara, Man Tana. Who is the Tana that made these distinctions? Man Tana Akiris, says the Gemara, it represents only the opinion of Yehuda. The Tanya, Chaverim Shayim Asubim, if there was a group of people that was sitting and eating, and the Rashbam says that the reason the Braisa specifically speaks about chaverim is because the Gemara speaks about that, and the Braisa is going to speak about that they got up to go to the Beis Medrash. That throughout Shas, chaverim, when the Gemara speaks about chaverim, chaverim are typically people who are talmidei chachamim. So that's why, who goes to Beis Medrash? Certainly, who goes to Beis Medrash in the middle of a meal? Talmid chachamim. So that's why the Braisa used the word chaverim. So says the Braisa, chaverim, shayim asubim, there were this group of talmid chacham that were sitting together to eat, v'roklu v'agleim, and they got up to go, l'leich l'beis medrash, to get up to go davin, or l'leich l'beis knesset to davin, or l'beis medrash, or they went to the beis medrash. The halach is, k'shen yoytzim, when they get up, ain't on a bruch l'mafreya, they don't need to make a bruch achroina, u'k'shein chayzrim, and when they come back, ain't on a bruch l'chatchila, they don't need to make a bruch rishoina. On that comments Rabbi Yehuda, Am Rabbi Yehuda, b'medva mamurim, when is that halacha apply, that there's no necessity for a bruch achroina and a bruch rishoina, b'zman shenichuch sham mitzvos chaverim, when you left somebody still there, if nobody was left at the original place, before they get up, they need to make a bracha achroina. When they come back, they have to make a bracha rishoina. So we see that it's only Rabbi Yehuda that follows this opinion that it makes a difference if you leave somebody or you don't leave somebody. The Rabbanon disagree, and Rav Chisda that. And they say that if you're eating something like this, that of significance, it's always considered that it is a continuation of the meal. And since it's always considered a continuation of the meal, there's no need to make a bracha achroina, whether you left somebody there or you didn't leave anybody there. And that's why the opinion Rav Chisda is going to be following the opinion of the Rabbanan. In general, we learned the Masechta Erevin on that pei beis amud aleph, that whenever Rabbi Yehuda uses the words of b'med v'mamurim, it indicates that he's coming to disagree with the chachamim. In other words, the Gemara over there taught us that there are two different words that are used that have very different meaning. If he uses the words b'medvar mamurim, it means he's arguing. If he uses the word emesai, it means that he's just agreeing, but he's modifying what the other opinion said. So here we learned about getting up in the middle of a meal to go daven. So Taisa says, based on what we just learned in this brisa, if somebody gets up during a meal to get up to daven, then when he comes back, he doesn't. Before he gets up, he doesn't have to make bracha achrayna, and he doesn't have to make a new bracha rishonim when he comes back. However, there are rishonim that disagree and say that if somebody goes out for full-fledged tefillah, the halacha would be that they would have to make a new, they should say brichas hamazon or whatever bracha achrayna, and then come back and make a new bracha rishonim. They explain that this brisa with the chama being lenient is only in a case where somebody's just going to the shul for a short amount of time to say, to hear a kedusha, to hear a kaddish. But if you're going for a full-fledged tefillah, it's considered akru. It's considered that the right thing to do is make a bracha achrayna and come back and make bracha rishayna. Here we said that hinichu mixes chaverim. The Gemara already twice today share discussed that if you left somebody at the there, that it's not considered that the group has been disbanded. Says, so I saw that the Shal Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi says that if you leave Mixas Chaverim, if you're part of a group of people who do the right thing, and sometimes, unfortunately, there are people that have moments of weakness. But if you, says the Eretz Tzvi, are a part of a group that is of a chabura that's doing the right thing, even if you have a momentary lapse, you come back to the bracha. You're never really going to be completely lost. You're going to be able to come back to where you belong. Says the Gemara, Tama, what do we see from this brisa? The b'dvar matun bracha l'achrei b'mekayma. We're talking about, as we mentioned earlier, that you ate something which was significant, that requires a significant bracha achrayna. And what do we see? The kishin yotzim ain't tuna bracha achrayim, the bracha achrayah. They don't have to make the chacham hold that when you get up, you don't need to make a bracha achrayna. Kishin chayzrim, and when you come back from wherever you were, ain't tuna bracha achatchila. You don't have to make a bracha rishayna. But that's only because you were eating these significant foods. If what you had eaten, something that only requires a bracha, a bayir in the fashas, a filer rabbanon, the rabbanon opinion would be shin yotzin tuna bracha mafreya. Before they get up, they should make a bracha achrayna shin chayzrim, and when they come back from where they ever were, tuna bracha chatchila, they need to make a bracha rishayna. Says the Gemara. So isn't this a refutation of the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Kuf Aleph Amun Aleph taught us that if you get up in the middle of your meal and you come back, you never have to make a bracha achrayna and a bracha rishayna. And he didn't differentiate if it's dvarim hatunim, what type of food you ate. Says the Gemara. But lav mi yisim dechad zimna. Haven't we already refuted Rabbi Yochanan's opinion earlier on Daf Kuf Aleph on the base? So what's the point of doing this again? Answers the Gemara, name Maha Name Avita Yufta. We want to bring a raya from this brisa against Rabbi Yochanan as well. And the Rishonim explain two reasons. One is that if we will find an answer to the previous question, we'll still have this brisa as a refutation. Or another pshat, similar to something that we learned the other day, that let's say we'll have a situation where the first brisa turns out to be a non-authentic brisa. So then the question that's asked from such a brisa is obviously not considered really a significant question. So now what the Gemara does is it asks a question from another brisa. So even if that brisa turns out not to be considered authentic, we have a question from an authentic brisa. Amloch Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, to defend himself against this question, says, according to the Chachamim, Huadin, the Rabbanim will hold that filo dvarim she'en tuna brachah l'chreim v'chreim nami in tzarech l'varach. It makes no difference what you eat. You don't have to make a bracha achroina before you get up, and you don't have to make a bracha rishoina. V'ado tana akru agleim. So why did the Brisa, as we said earlier, use the words akru agleim, which, as we explained, seems to indicate that we're talking about something that requires a significant bracha, not just any food? The Brisa was telling to teach us Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That even though you were eating a significant food, and since you were eating significant food, that should clearly be an indication that you want to continue the meal, and therefore it shouldn't make a difference. Still, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us the only reason you don't have to make a bracha, achroina, bracha rishoina, is tamad the nichusham, the nichum mixes chaverim. If you didn't leave anybody at the original group, it doesn't make a difference what you eat. You're going to have to make a bracha achroina. Indeed, says Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanan are always lenient. It's only Rabbi Yehuda that makes this differentiation, and we want to teach us that point. So now the Gemara wants to bring a brisa that to support, however, the opinion of Rav Chisda, that it matters what you were eating. And if you were eating something significant, then you don't have to make a bracha achroina, bracha reshoina again. And if you weren't, then you would. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Chisda, there's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav Chisda. Chaverim shoyim meshubin lishtesh yayin. They were drinking wine. And wine requires a bracha achroina of me'ein shalosh. When you drink wine, the halacha is chazru when they vakra gleim, when they get up in the middle of the meal. Chazru when they come back ain't tzrichin levarach. We don't have to make a bracha rishoina. We see that when you're drinking, eating something significant, Rav Chisda's opinion that you don't have to make a bracha achroina, bracha rishoina, is very much supported. Says the Rashbam that even though this Brisa is speaking about a case where the person had an intention to come back to his same place, he says that the same halacha would be even if he went to somewhere else. And he explains, because what is the basis of Rav Chisda's opinion? The basis of Rav Chisda's opinion is that when you're eating something significant, when you continue eating, that's always a continuation of the original meal. If that's the basis of Rav Chisda's opinion, therefore it doesn't make a difference if you come back to the original place or you come back elsewhere, the same halacha would apply. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Bnei Chabura, if you have a group, Shoyim Mesubin, going back to an issue that we discussed earlier, Bnei Chabura and Afkuf, Tana Rabbana Bnei Chabura, Shoyim Mesubin, there was a group that was sitting together to eat on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yontif. V'kiddush aleihem hayom, and it became Yontif. We bring to the person kosher yayin, a cup of wine, v'amilav kiddush sayom, and he should say kiddush, and then they bring another case, sheni, they bring another cup of wine, and v'amilav berchas hamazon, and then they eat a new meal, l'kavod Shabbos. Even though this halacha that we learned on Daf Kuf, there the Gemara did not differentiate if it was one individual that this happened to, or it was a Bnei Chabura. Still, the Braisa here teaches us that even though it's the same halacha, explains Tosfos, applies both if it's a group and if it's not a group. According to Rabbi Yossi, as we discussed, and we're going to discuss it mitzvah soon, the original meal is considered the Suda Shabbos. And according to the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. Says the Gemara. So the question before we go further, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So of course the question that Rashi and the Rashbam both ask is, why do we make Kiddush before Berchas HaMazon? If we're making If we're ending the first meal and we want to start a second meal, so shouldn't we first make Berachas HaMazon and then make Kiddush? So Tosfos explains that the reason we do this is because we can't, if we're going to say Berachas HaMazon first on a cup of wine, as we're going to be learning in our sugyas, that was the common practice. The common practice was that they always said Berachas HaMazon on a kais. So if they're going to say Berachas HaMazon first, they're going to have to take a taste from that Berachas HaMazon. But once there's a chiv to eat, but once the chiv kiddush came, you can't drink from that cup. And therefore, the halach is, you should first make the kiddush and then the Berachas HaMazon. Other Rishonim explain that what was the reason we had to interrupt this meal? They were eating. Why do we have to interrupt the meal? Because it was Shabbos. So since Shabbos, which carries with it the chiv to make kiddush, was the whole reason for what we have to do to stop the meal, so that's why it makes sense to have to make kiddush first to show that the kiddush, the Shabbos, is what's causing this activity. Another pshat that the Ravid explains, that right now it started to be Shabbos. Since it's Shabbos, so when Shabbos comes, you have to make Kiddush. So now, this man, that now it's Shabbos, is the time of Kiddush. It's not specifically the time of Berachas HaMazon. And since now is the time for Kiddush, it makes sense to make Kiddush first. So that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But as we learned in that Gemara, Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to stop your meal. Oich v'hoylich, atche techshech. Continue eating your meal. And then, Gomroi, when you finish your meal, and as we learned and learning, that meal is really now going to be considered Yesuda Shabbos. So since it's considered Yesuda Shabbos, you could continue. Gomroi, says Rabbi Yossi, finish that meal, and then you'll bring the two cups of wine. Kais Rishim Mevarach La Berachas HaMazon. The first cup you make is Berachas HaMazon. And some of the Rishonim explain it's a simple reason why you should make Berachas HaMazon first. Because Berachas HaMazon is Tadr. You more often make a Berachas HaMazon than make another Bracha. So Tadr V'Sheina Tadr than making Kiddush. Tadr V'Sheina Tadr Tadr Kaidim. So first say Berachas HaMazon and a Sheini. And then the second cup, you're going to say Kiddush Hayoyim. And as we explained extensively when we learned the opinion of Yossi, that cup, what about the chiv to eat suda on Shabbos? The meal that I ate before the kiddush is the suda Shabbos. The meal that I eat before the suda satisfies the requirement of kiddush b'makom suda, even though, of course, normally the suda is after the kiddush. It's also okay if the suda is going to be before the suda. And in fact, the suda is going to be before the kiddush. And in fact, the Rishonim say, according to Rabbi Yossi, this meal you would have to say Ritzei, b'chach litzeinu, because this meal is the suda Shabbos. And since it's the suda Shabbos, when you eat a suda Shabbos, you have to say Ritzei. And from here we see that even though you began the suda Shabbos before Shabbos, as long as you ate some of that suda Shabbos during Shabbos, that's enough of a reason that you could consider it the Suda Shabbos and have to say Kiddush. Furthermore, as the Rishonim point out, even though we're learning this halacha that according to Rabbi Yossi, you could finish a meal, say Berachas HaMazon, and then say Kiddush, we did learn that Shmuel taught us, and we had a discussion, that Shmuel disagreed with Rabbi Yossi, or Shmuel just explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Mel Rishonim say that Shmuel's just explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and Shmuel said, better to do what the Gemara just said now, is to be Paris Mappa Makadosh, put a covering over the food that's on the table, make Kiddush, and then continue your meal, and then say Berachas HaMazon. Amai. But ask the Gemara, why did Rabbi Yossi require that we should separate and say Berachas HaMazon on one kais, and then on the second kais make Kiddush, why don't we just make the Berachas HaMazon and the Kiddush on the same cup? So, ask the Rashbam, the same question that the Gemara is asking now on Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara could have asked on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda also said that we have to stop the meal. The only difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda says we're going to first make Kiddush and then say Brichas Mazon. And Rabbi Yossi says we're going to say Brichas Mazon and Kiddush. So we should have asked on Rabbi Yehuda as well. So the Rashbam says, going back to the Gemara that we learned in Daf Kuf, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have to be oikros shulchan. We have to take away the table entirely. So therefore, it makes sense that these two acts, the Brichas Mazon and Kiddush, have absolutely no connection to each other. So of course they have to be said on two separate kaises. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that we're finishing the meal, and we're going to say Brichas Mazon, and all we're going to do is say Kiddush, why can't they be done on one cup? Answers the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason? Om Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the Gemara teaches us a new halacha. And that is the halacha, she'ein oisim mitzvos chavilas chavilas. We never do two things on one cup. When you do mitzvahs on two, when you do two mitzvahs at the same time, Rashi explains, it looks like the mitzvahs are a massive atayrach. It looks like the mitzvahs are just a bother to you. You just want to get done with these mitzvahs. And since you want to get done with these mitzvahs, that's not the right attitude towards mitzvahs. And don't do mitzvahs at the same time. Taisus in Masechet Ma'akotin says the reason why ain't oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas is because every time we do a mitzvah, we want you to be able to fully concentrate on the mitzvah. And if you're going to be doing two mitzvahs at a time, you're not really concentrating on each mitzvah individually. And that's not the right attitude towards mitzvahs. And since that's not the right attitude towards mitzvahs, that's why we should do each mitzvah separately. And this is the basis, says Tosfos, because we're learning ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, we know that when we come to a sheva brachas, there's one cup of wine that's used for the Brichas Hamazon, and there's another cup of wine that's used for the Sheva Brachas. Because the reason is, ain't oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And the same by every wedding. Our minig is that when we make a wedding, both Erusin and the Suin happen right one after the other. Under the chuppah, first is the Brichas Erusin, then there's the Sheva Brachas. So we don't use the same cup of wine for Brichas Erusin and for the Sheva Brachas, two separate cups of wine are used. But Tosfos does say that even though we use two separate cups of wine, there's no reason to make two separate Bari Priyagofins. You make one Bari Priyagofin, the person who benched, he makes his own Bari Priyagofin by the Sheva Brachas, by the Sheva Brachas during the week. And the question is, do we make a separate Bari Priyagofin on the cup of wine? Many menhagim, but many don't make a separate bracha per goffin. So there's many different, when we discuss the halacha of ein oisim, mitzvah chavilas chavilas, there are many different shailas that come up. I saw that the Ksav Sofer and the Shalas Tshuvas Ksav Sofer, Oir Chaim, Simon Kuf Lamates, discusses if somebody on Purim sent to a poor person food, so is he can he be yotze both the mitzvah mishloich manos and the mitzvah matanos lavyonim? Do we say that if you're going to, with that same package of food that you're sending to this individual, try to fulfill two mitzvahs, it's a concern of mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, or it's not? So the Steichemet says that he doesn't even understand the shaila. The only time there's a concern of ein oisim mitzvah chavilas chavilas is when you do two separate acts over one cup. Like we spoke, if you're going to use the same cup of wine for the Brichas Hamazon, the Brichas Sheva Brachas. Here, that isn't the case, that isn't the issue. And he brings a raya. The halacha is that if somebody finished two mesechtas and he wants to make a siyum, could he make one siyum on two mesechtas? And halach is, of course you can. If even though he has kavana, it should be for both, that's not considered ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. I saw similarly that, let's say, somebody's father asked him to take something, to transport something to a certain place, and his mother also asked him to take something to another place. Is there a point that he should carry these two packages separately, or he could carry both of them together and it won't be diminishing the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Em? So the Paiskim say, of course, as long as it doesn't show, like we explained at the beginning of this, that a person is showing that the mitzvah is a bother to him, or it's a situation where he can't concentrate on two different things at the same time, we could be lenient, and it's not considered ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas. It's not considered mitzvahs chavilas. I saw that the Shas HaTshuvas from Ramshik, also discussing this issue of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas, discusses what's going to be halacha if somebody is a very talented individual, and he could be a moil at the sandik at the same time. So can you ask the same person to be a moil and a sandik at the same time? Or is that considered ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? So the Maram Shik says that only when the two mitzvahs have a connection to each other, it's going to be concerned of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. But the mitzvah of being a moil and the mitzvah being sandik are two totally separate activities. Since the two totally separate activities, they're not considered ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. The Shas HaTshuvas Divrei Makil, Chelek Aleph, Siman Samech Tes, says that we often find that, especially this was the minhag on Zayin Adar. On Zayin Adar, they used to say a drasha, the Rav used to say a drasha, and he also used to say a hesped on the tzaddikim, on the Talmidei Chachamim that passed away in that year. So could you be maspid two separate, two Talmidei Chachamim in one drasha? Was that a concern of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? So he says, going back to what we discussed, if the entire purpose, the entire concern of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas is only in a case where it looks like it's a masa for you. That in other words, you try to arrange that you should do both mitzvahs at the same time, so you shouldn't have to do the two mitzvahs separately because you really just want to get the mitzvah over with. But where it's not that, where that's obviously not the case, where you're saying a drasha and you're speaking about the tzaddikim who passed away this year, so it's not that you created a situation that I have to say to a spadim, and in order to get this off, get this burden off my head, I'm going to say both of them at the same time. It truly is what the case is. I'm speaking about the tzaddikim who unfortunately passed away this year. That isn't considered ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. He also goes on to explain there that not only is it an ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, it's more than that. He says that by such a drasha, what is the person who's saying the drasha trying to accomplish? He's trying to get the people to realize what we suffered this year. And when he speaks about more than one tzaddik having left the world, it's more of a hisiris to those people. Since it's more of a hisiris to those people, on the contrary, it would should be done. I saw that Tzfas Emes quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah Perek B'Mem Medlikim in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Gimel Amabez, that the Mishnah discusses that Shemen Tzreifa, the definition of Shemen Tzreifa, is oil that's supposed to be truma oil that got tameh that you have to burn. So the question is, can such oil be used on Friday night to light the Shabbos candles? Why isn't that considered Moisen Mitzvahs Chavilas? So he says that since there's two separate mitzvahs, and the two mitzvahs are happen at the separate times, the mitzvah of Shabbos candles is that every moment we should have light illuminating in our home. The mitzvah of burning the Shemen Sreifa is to have this fire, this oil consumed. So since the mitzvah doesn't happen at the same time, whenever the two mitzvahs don't happen at the same time, then there's no problem of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. The Sefer Rish Be'esh explains why ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. The Gemara in Masechta Maakotin Daf Tes Amud Beis teaches us ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. We can't mix two simchas together. We can't have two simchas to weddings, etc., at the same time. And the reason is because we have to do each mitzvah b'shleimus, with a full-fledged level of simcha. And if we're going to mix the two mitzvahs together, then that isn't the case. So says the Sefer Rish Be'esh, if that's the case, by mitzvahs, that's one of the reasons for Ein Oysen, mitzvahs chavilus chavilus. Ask the Gemara. And that's why the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yossi, we can't say Birchas HaMazon and Kiddush on the same kais. Ask the Gemara V'loi, is that true for Tanya? Have we not learned in a brisa? Hanichnas lebeisai b'matzoi Shabbos. If somebody enters his home matzoi Shabbos after he davened Ma'ariv and he wants to say Havdalah, Mevarach ala Yayin, first he should make a bari pri agafin, then he should make a brach ala mor on Birchas Ma'ariv, v'ala psamim, and then you should make a brach minim psamim, v'akach oima Havdalah ala kais, and then you should make Havdalah and drink it. V'meilu ala kais echad. But let's say we're talking about a person, the regular case, where a person comes up from shul, that even though the halacha is, you set out the chon antanu by Ma'ariv, when you daven Ma'ariv, you're still supposed to make a havdalah. But let's say you have an individual, the individual only has one cup of wine, menich alachemazen, he should wait till after he eats, or meshashon kulam la'achrav. And then he makes all of the brachas, both Birchas HaMazon and Havdalah, on one kais. So you see that even though it's just one kais of wine, we can make on that one kais of wine both Birchas HaMazon and Havdalah. Answers the Gemara, Ein Loishani. This is a unique situation where he only has one cup of wine. That's why we're more lenient. So of course, all the Rishonim asked the question that how could the person have eaten before he made Havdalah? The halacha is that you're not allowed to eat before you make Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos. So one teretz that the Rishonim suggest, that it's referring to a situation where the person was already eating and he's continuing his meal. When is the halacha that when Motzei Shabbos comes, you may not eat? That's only if you daven Ma'ariv. If you daven Ma'ariv, so then you can't eat before you say Havdalah. But if you didn't interrupt the meal, you could continue the meal. But there are other Rishonim, Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that of course, even though normally you're not supposed to eat before you make Havdalah, here, as the Gemara just said, we're talking about an individual Eloi. He only has one cup of wine. And as we said earlier in our shir, they were very makbid, they were very careful that whenever they said Birchas HaMazon, they said it on a cup of wine. So therefore, because he knew that he only has this one cup of wine, then the halacha is that he's allowed to wait with the Havdalah until he eats. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The Yontif Shechali is Achi Shabbos. If Yontif falls out on Motzei Shabbos, so on that meal, we're going to have to make Kiddush because of Yontif, and we're also going to have to make Havdalah. This lay that he has, presumably, many cups. Because we're talking about the night of the Seder. So he has plenty of wine. He has four cups of wine. Vamarav. And Rav says, when we have such a situation, that you said, and we're going to discuss this more tomorrow, Shir, you say Yakna. You say Yayin, Kiddush, Ner Havdalah. So we see that even though he has plenty of wine, he could still say both Kiddush and Havdalah on one cup of wine. Answers the Gemara Amri, Midalai Amazman. Rav omitted one very important bracha, the bracha of Shechianu that we make by the Seder. Why did he omit it? Because obviously, says the Gemara, Mechlal, the B'Shvi Shal Pesach Eskinen, that this Gemara is speaking about Shvi Shal Pesach. And the halacha is that on Shvi Shal Pesach, it's not considered a regular B'Fnei Atzmai, and because it's not considered a regular B'Fnei Atzmai, we don't make a Shechianu. And since it's already the end of Yontif Pesach, he doesn't have wine. The Kama de Havale, all the wine that he had, Ochale, that he prepared for Pesach, he used up during the previous 6 days of Yontif. And lastly, that's why we're being lenient. But under other circumstances, we would indeed not allow, at this point of the Gemara, Kiddush and Havdalah to be made on one cup of wine. Ask the Gemara, is that true? For Yontif Rishon, this lay, on the first night as we just said, as the Yontif begins, we certainly have enough wine. Amar Abaya, we're going to have a big discussion. What is the bracha? Is it Yak Zna, Yain Kiddush Man Ner Havdalah? Rav Amar Yak Nahaz Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. But everybody agrees there may be a disagreement on what is the proper order. But everybody agrees that we say both Kiddush and Havdalah on one cup of wine. So we see that you can do two brachas on one cup of wine. Ella says the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from there. Because Kiddush v'Havdalah chodim milsehi. Kiddush and Havdalah are really one and the same. And therefore, since they represent the same concept, particularly as the nusach of the Havdalah that's made under those circumstances is Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, since it travels together to both by Kodesh l'Kodesh, the halach is, that's why you could say both of them on one cup of wine. However, Birchas HaMazon v'Kiddush are trei milin ninu, are two separate issues. Since they're totally two separate issues, therefore, if possible, don't do them both on the same. If you have Baruch Hashem enough wine, therefore don't do them on the same cup of wine. Make them on two separate cups of wine. Whereas the Kiddush and Havdalah travel together. The one thing we clearly see from here is that when Yontif falls on Motzei Shabbos, that we're learning now, you have to make Havdalah. One thing that everybody agrees, you don't have to make a besamim. And the reason you don't have to make besamim is because because it's Yontif. Why do we make a besamim Motzei Shabbos by Havdalah? Because of the Neshama Yisera that's leaving. But since it's now Yontif, so we're not losing the Neshama Yisera, and therefore we don't have to make a bar minhag besamim. So now the question is, if that's the case, and we're saying that there's still a Neshama Yisera on Matzah Yontif, and that's why we don't make a bar minhag besamim, so why is the halacha that we don't make a bar minhag besamim on the Matzah every Yontif? We just learned that on Yontif we have a Neshama Yisera. So the Rishonim explain that certainly there is a Neshama Yisera on Yontif. The best raya that there is in the Neshama Yisera in Yontif is that on Yontif we say Nishmas. Why do we say Nishmas specifically on Shabbos and Yontif? Because we have a Neshama Yisera, that's why in the Tefillah we add Nishmas. But there's a difference between the Neshama Yisera from Shabbos and the Neshama Yisera of Yontif. The Neshama Yisera of Shabbos is a Neshama Yisera that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos comes every week because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings that Shabbos. The Neshama Yisera of Yontif is a Neshama Yisera that we create. And therefore, that's the difference. A Neshama Yisera that we create is a Neshama Yisera that will remain even after the Yontif. And therefore, there's no need to make a Besamim, a Bar Minhag Besamim, after Yontif. The Neshama Yisera of Shabbos is not a Neshama Yisera that we created. It's a Neshama Yisera that came because Shabbos brings automatically that Neshama Yisera. And that Neshama Yisera leaves on Motzei Shabbos, and that's why we have to say a Bar Minhag Besamim Motzei Shabbos. If it's Yontif, so even though it's a different Neshama Yisera, but since you still have left the Neshama Yisera, so that's why you don't have to say a Motzei Shabbos Yontif a Bar Minhag Besamim.